Begin the current Tav Masechtas Menachas Tav Lama Test. Begin on the top of the Amid, where the Gemara continues with the related discussion from the previous Tav discussing the topic of Aparek HaTcheles regarding the Mitzvah of Tzitzis. Moreover, another statement from V'Amar Rabbah and a similar type of phraseology that he used was Shema Mina, which you could infer, and we had said one halacha from him in the previous Tav, which is actually a different Gersoyis, that it's actually not Rabbah but Rabbah. But the same idea, Shema Mina, we can infer regarding the Mitzvah of Tzitzis that Kesher Elyon, the upper knot, which as Rashi explains, that's actually what from the garment is the upper, but it's really the bottom knot, that which is right on the bottom of all the knotted parts when the threads go around until you have the strings coming out. That knot, we can infer deraisa, that is halacha l'mesh mi-Sinai. In other words, that there has to be at least one knot in the tzitzit strings that's biblical. And the reason why we picked the upper knot, meaning the bottom knot, is because if you're going to do only one knot, which on a biblical level, you're going to do it at the end because that's going to hold together the entire braided part. But it has to be that even if it's possible to braid the entirety of that of the part of the tzitzit and it could stay like that for a day or two without a knot, it's going to be invalid because halacha l'mesh mi-Sinai, a biblical halacha requires that there be a knot. Why? Says Rabbah, the Rabbanim, because if you'd entertain to say that this halacha of knotting is only rabbinic, so my itzrich l'mishri tzad mitzitzes, so why did the Torah have to go ahead and permit a linen garment with the tcheles strings which are wool? By the laws of tzitzes, like the Torah says, leisil b'shatnes, you're not allowed to wear a garment of wool and linen. But right after that, the Pasuk says in the Devarim Chav Beis Gedilim Taslach, you should make tzitzis strings, which the Gemara expounds. The Torah is telling you that by tzitzis, climb a mixture of wool and linen is permitted. But why did we need to go ahead and permit that? Pshita, obviously it's permitted to have the wool strings on the linen garment. And you don't have to permit climb. Why not? Because I take if tkifa achas, if someone goes and stitches one stitching of wool and linen, in a Hebrew, biblically, that's not considered that they're connected, the strings in the garment, to say that they're klayim. So why do you need a permissibility of klayim by tzitzis? So who cares? So the linen garment and the wool strings, but they're only one time threaded in. That's not biblical klayim. Ashma minah deraisa, obviously, that must be that at least one knot, which that was a continuation of the previous Gemara, the other statement of Rabbah, that you have to go ahead and make a knot on every time that you're making a braid, that was a discussion, if it was proof or not, but at least one time that has to be knotted, and therefore it is connected, the strings that are wool to the garment, which is linen, and therefore that's why the Torah had to permit climb, because if not, you would never be able to have the biblical halacha of tzitzis, which biblically requires tcheles, which is wool, strings to be connected with a knot, at least one knot, which we call Kesher Elyon Deraisa, into the linen garment. Now, continuing on the discussion from the previous daf regarding the tzitzis strings that tear, Amar Rav Abba Rav Ada, Amar Rav Ada, Amar Rav, says, Im nifsik hachut meikare, if the strings tore from the top part, from its beginning, where it connects to the garment, then psula, then the tzitzis are invalid. Now, Yosef Rav Nachman became a Loshmait. So he was sitting and saying over this teaching of Rav, and Eitzvei Rav Rav Nachman, Rav asked him Nachman for the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Bamed Vamrum, when did we say that there's a required measurement for the tzitzis strings? As the Gemara says later on, Daf Memal Vamim Beis, how much has to be braided, how much has to be hanging? So it says the Braisa, when did we say that there's a measurement for its length? That's Betchilas, it's the beginning when the tzitzis are being made of a seifa, but at the end, for example, let's say at a later point in time, the tzitzis strings tear. Shiyarov vigardum of kalshu, then its leftovers, then its stubs, is no matter what amount, even a minute amount. Now, on that asks Rav to Rav Nachman, my shiyurov or my gardumov? Aren't they, don't they both mean the same thing? Shiyarov means leftover, gardumov means what's the stubs, what's left over? Why, what are these two terminologies? Says Rav, my lav, isn't it saying, what's shiyarov? The ifzik minayu, shiyarov means leftovers, meaning that some of the strings tore, and veishtar minayu, but some of it is left over. And gardumov, what does it mean when there are some strings that are gardumov? It means to say the gardum igardume, that it's totally torn, and nothing is left even all the way up to the garment itself. And therefore, it's difficult, according to the one who's saying that if the string gets torn all the way where it's connected to the garment, it's going to be possible. Similarly, here from the Halacha of the Braisa, we see that Gardumov, which seemingly is saying that it's totally torn, because Shiyarov is already saying that part of it is torn. Gardumov must be that it's totally torn, and yet still we see it's kosher if even one or two of the strings are going to be torn by where it's connected to the garment. Says Reb Nachman Loi, no. Chadikitani, it's one Halacha. Shiyure Gardumov. It's not two different cases and saying, oh, Shiyurov is some of it's left, so Gardumov must be totally not left. No, it's the leftovers of the stubs, meaning that some of it is left and some of it is torn off. And that is what the Brice is saying, Kalshu is even minute amount. So that is the Gemara, Velema Gardumov. Then say just the terminology, Gardumov, it's stubs, Shiyurov Lamalu. Why do you have to say the leftovers of the stubs? Stubs itself means to say some is torn, some is left over. Says the Gemara, no, Hakmashbalan. This is what the Brice is teaching by saying Shiyarim in the Gardumin, it's telling you to be in the Shiur of the Garduma, that you need to have a measurement in those stubs to be called leftovers. How much is that? Kedelanvan, enough to go ahead and make a slip knot, as we said in the previous stuff. And that's what it means when it says kosher, it means kedeaniva, enough to go ahead and tie it, which we had a question, does it mean to tie all of them together or just each one individually? But either way, that's what it means. It's not saying that even if it's totally torn, it's invalid. It means to say, some of it is torn, and in that sum, you still have to have a measurement of Kedam Neva. Yosef Rabba, Vukama Mishmei the Rav, Rabba was sitting, and was saying over the name of Rav, the following halacha. Chut shel kerech, there is a string, which is what makes the braiding of the first third of the tzitzis, which is braided, which one of the eight strings is that they take and wrap around all the other strings, and that's how it's made, the top part is made into a gedil, into a braided part. So, and that says Rabba in the name of Rav, that string which is used to wrap around the rest is oilam and aminin, is part of the eight strings that are necessary on each corner of the garment, as the Gemara said later on, the Membeis and Medal. Now, Amalei Rav Yosef, however, said to Rabba, Shmuel Amra V'loi Rav. The halacha that you're saying over the name of Rav is not Rav, it was Shmuel who said it. And the Menam is we learned, Amar Rabba B'chana, says, Sachli Rabbi Yeshia de Min Usha, which, as the Girsa adds on, Mishmei de Shmuel, Chutchel Kerech, this thread that wraps around the other threads, is Oilam and Aminyan, is part of the eight that are necessary. It's four, but then it's folded over in the hole, makes into eight. That one thread that wraps around is part of that eight. A similar type of discussion, the Gemara says, Yasav, and the Girsa says, Rabba, V'kamer Mishmei de Shmuel. Rabbi was saying his name of Shmuel Tcheles, which, although generally is literally translated as the blue wool, it's many times used as referring to the entirety of the tzitzit strings. Shekarech Rubam, that if the majority of the tzitzit strings were wrapped into a braid, meaning two-thirds were gedil, and only one-third were what's called anufim, which is the branches, which is the tzitzit strings that hang out. So even though the majority of it was braided, Ksheir, it's going to be valid. So although the mitzvah is actually ideally to have only a third of it braided and two-thirds strings coming out, as we're going to say later on, still, if it's the other way around, if the majority is braided, it's going to be valid. On this, Omalei Rav Yisrael said to Rabba, Rav Amar V'lei Shmuel. This halacha that you're saying in the name of Shmuel was not Shmuel, it was actually Rav. And that Menam is to we learned, Amar Avhun by Yehuda, Amar Avsheshes, Amar Avyimri by Abba, Amar Rav. Tcheles, Shekarach, Rubik, Ksheir. The tzitzit strings that are the majority of it braided is going to be valid. Rav Chiya Bered Rav Nosson Masni Hachi. He taught that the similar halacha in the following version. It says, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Sheshers, Amar Rav Yimri, Rabba, Amar Rav. First part being the same. Tchele Shekarach Rubik Shera. The tzitzit strings that the majority of braid are kosher. But then he continued this halacha and he said, Vafil Leikarach Ba Elu Chulya Achas. And even if it was only braided, one braid, meaning if it was, as we're going to shortly explain, if it was went around that longer string three times, it's going to be valid, even though it was done only one time. But the primary mitzvah of the tzitzis, which is the beauty of the tchelis, meaning the mitzvah of tzitzis, is to have shlish gedil v'shnei shlishi anaf, like we said before, a third of it to be braided, two-thirds of it to be branches. But that's what he was saying in this halacha in the name of Rab, but even if it was done only one time around, which is three times, meaning one set, which is three times going around, it's also going to be valid to have this halacha of gedilim and pesil, as we'll see on Amud Beis. Now, the kamashir chulya, as we mentioned in passing before, how much is the measurement of a series? Tanya le'nebraisa, Rabbi Yemi says, so that you could wrap, do a second time, And the third time, that's considered a chulya, that's considered a link, which would be considered in one time of that, as we'll see that actually, ideally, there should be more than that. But that's what the halacha said, that if you do it even just one time, one chulya, then that's going to be valid to be considered gedil. Now, how much is a chulya? It's by going around three times. The Tanur lit in a braisa, ha-poiches la-yifches mi-shava, that actually, the least amount a person should do in his tzitzit strings is to make seven links. We said each link is three times, which there's a discussion in the Rishon, this is how Rashi says it, that each link is three times. Do seven links. And as we said in the previous daf, that Rabba wanted to say that you have to make a knot on after every link, which as we see in our tzitzit strings, as we're going to shortly explain, there's the threading around, then a knot, then again. So that's what the Bryce is saying. Don't do less than seven links. And again, each link should have at least going around three times. But shouldn't do more than 13. So again, 13 links, which if we imagine a knot after every one, it should go around at least three times. That's a link. And you should have now no less than seven and no more than 13. And that explains the braisa why. The least amount the person should do is seven. Can I get Shiva Rakim? Correlating to the seven skies, the seven heavens that go up from this world to the next world. But now don't do more than 13. Can I get Shiva Rakim? That will total the seven skies with the six ear spaces between them, between these seven Rakis. Now, why? What's the relationship? The reason is because we have in our tzitzit strings, at least in Talmudic times, tcheles, the blue thread, which, and why is there the halacha wearing tcheles? Because that appears to the same appearance as the sea. The sea has a similar appearance to the rikia, to the skies. The Gemara tells later on that from Gimel Beis. So therefore we compare also the order of its strings to the braiding, to the amount of skies that there are, so that we should remember, just like the color, so too the tzitzis, which Taisa says, since we don't have tcheles, so we're not particular, and we don't have this amount of seven, and a minimum of seven, and a maximum of 13. Now, Tanur Litna Braisam, Keshu Maschel, when he starts wrapping, starts braiding, so Maschel Belavim, so he should start with the white one. As Rashi explains, at least in Talmudic times when they had both the white and the blue thread, they would leave two threads that would be longer to make the braiding out of it. And they would start braiding with the white one, and in the middle, braid with the blue one, and then go ahead and conclude the braiding with the white one. Why? Because first in the pasuk it mentions, hakanav min kanav. First, that's done first, is that which is similar to the type of the garment, which generally we said the garments are made out of linen, which are white, and therefore the white string is used first. Then it says in the pasuk, psil tcheles, so then you braid with the tcheles. Ukeshu mesayim, and then when he concludes the braiding, mesayim belavim, he concludes with the white threads. Now Rashi points out that in our days, we actually do five knots. Now the reason for this is because the Gemara later on tells us that the mitzvah tzitzis is equivalent to the entire Torah. Why? Because the numerical value of the word tzitzis is actually 600. With the eight threads and the five knots, that makes 613, which correlates to the numerical value of all the mitzvahs. So therefore, actually, we do two knots on the top and three knots on the bottom. Now, why do we conclude with the white threads? It's because Ma'il Mekodesh V'Lay Meridin is because we only elevate in statuses of sanctity and we don't downgrade. Now, since the Pasuk said that you have to start off with the white threads, the Min Kanav, obviously, because that's the more distinguished one. If you would end with the Tcheles, so that would be downgrading the end of the Tzitzis more than what you started. And only Ma'il Mekodesh, therefore, although in the middle you do Tcheles, but you end off with the white threads, which are the more significant ones. Now, the Gemara brings a story related to this halacha about the braiding with the strings of the tzitzis. The Rav, Rabbi Barbachan, Haba Yasvi. They were sitting, Haba Kachola Vazlahu Gav, and a certain man passed them by. The Michsi Glima the Kulit Chelta, that was wearing a garment, a talus, that was totally blue wool. Baramele Chelta, and although generally we said the translation is Tchelis, it means, and he was wearing tzitzis. Now, as a Ketintim and Beis, however, the Gedila Migdil. The entirety of his tzitzit strings were braided. There wasn't any strings hanging out. It was all braided. Now, Amarav, so these two Amarom were sitting there, and they saw this person pass by. Rav said, Yoik lima v'lo yoik tchelta. What a beautiful garment, but not beautiful tzitzis. Because he wasn't fulfilling the mitzvah tzitzis, because there was no anothim, there was no strings hanging out. It was all braided part. Rabbi Babachanam, he said, Yoy plima biyoy techelta, no, a beautiful garment and beautiful tzitzis. So says the Gemara, what are they disagreeing about? So the Gemara explains. Rabbi Bachana Saba, he who held that it's going to be valid, is because we have two different sukkah. Ksiv Gedil, there's a pasuk that says in Devarim, Gedilim Tasalach, al arba kamvas kasus chasher techasaba, which is the mitzvah of making tzitzis. That says you should make braided. Uksiv Basilb, then there's a pasuk in Bamidbar, which says in the parasha of Vayemer, you should make tzitzis hakam vigdeim, they should put on the tzitzis hakonah psil techeles. Psil means thread. So what does it mean? Should it be braided or should it be threaded? On that says, on that Rabbi Chana held, Oy gedil, oy psil. Yeah, these are two different parashas. You could choose. You could either braid them or string them. And therefore, this one who had it braided all the way was valid, was beautiful. But for Rav Saba, he held, no, lo oylam psil bein, and you always need to have that there are threads hanging out, and you can't have just braided. Vahi gedilim, and oh, although it says in that other parasha gedilim, that sounds like you could have it just braided, that was coming to tell us the amount of strings, amount of threads you need to have at every corner of the garment. Which Shita Mugubetzis and Eis Yud Zayin asks, what do you mean? What was pushing Rav, as the Gemara explains him, to say that Gedilim was telling us the amount of threads that are necessary, and not to say, like Rav Bachana had said, that you could have either one or the other? Why didn't Rav say that, no, you need both? It says in one pasuk Gedil, one pasuk Psil, to say that you need both. And that would have been enough. Why does he have to say that Gedilim is not to say or Gedilim, but rather to say Lemanyana and Psil is a primary halacha that you always need to have? Just say simply that because you need to have both. So, and that's what says the Shita Megabetz says, no, because Rabbi Rachana was saying, in one parasha, it says, and this is in Sefer Devarim, it only says Gedil, and it doesn't say anything about Psil over there. In the other pasuk in Bamidbar, it says only Psil and doesn't say Gedil. Obviously, because each one is not an integral one for the other. You could have either one or the other. That's what Rav is responding, and he's saying, no, we obviously do learn one from the other. And what it says in one parasha, you need by the other parasha. How does he know that? Because how do we know the amount of strings? We know that from the parasha that says Gedilim, as we're going to shortly explain, it tells us the amount of the threads that are necessary. So that's how we know by Psil also how much. Even though it doesn't say over there how many threads, obviously because you learn that one from the other to require what it says by one, by the other, and therefore, when it says by psil, you need gedil, and what by gedil, you need psil, and therefore you actually need both. And how do I know that you learn that one from the other? Is because by gedilim, what's that coming to tell us? It's coming to tell us the amount of threads that are necessary, and we learn psil from gedil. So again, therefore you need to have what says by one, by the other, and therefore, yes, you need to have both gedil and psil. Why? What is it? What are you learning out from Gedilim, the amount of strings that are necessary? Because Gedil Shnayim, Gedil Marba. In other words, had the Pasuk said Gedil Tasalach, that would have sounded like you need two threads. Why? Because Gedil, a braid, you can't have less than two strings. Now that it says Gedilim in the plural, sounds like four strings so that you can make two braids. Which tells you as follows. What does it mean, Gedilim? I say Gedil. So you make a braided part from the four strings, which, as we explained earlier, you take the four strings and you put it into that hole at the end of the garment, which when it gets doubled over now, because you're folding it over now, it makes it into eight threads coming out. So that fulfills the gedilim part, which we said is what tells us the amount of four strings. And what's psil? Upaslehu mitaychai. Two interpretations in Rashi. Either paslehu means to say the term of braiding, and mitaychai means to say, like halacha we had learned previously, that the string that's used to braid the rest is also going to be mitaychai from the amount of eight threads, or a different interpretation, peislehu means from the term of psil that we're using, that's the thread hanging out. Peislehu mitaychai means to say that you should have enough of the threads, the strings hanging out from the gedilim part, which is therefore like Rav had held, that you need to have both Gedilim and Pasilim, you need to have both knotted, both braided, and the strings, and therefore he held that this person who was walking just with braided tzitzis was not valid. Now the Gemara continues, Amar Shmuel Meshmei de Levi, he says, Chute, the two white threads that there are, because two out of the four are white and the other two are blue wool, so if those two white threads are tzemer, are wool, which generally we said that they're linen. That's what we said, the blue is wool, that has to be, tcheles is blue wool. And generally we said that min hakonof is the same type, the white threads are the same white linen as the garment itself. But that's what Shmuel says, Neiman Levi, let's say there's two white threads are actually wool. Paitrin Bishal Pishtan, it will be valid and exempt the garment that's a garment made out of linen. This wool white tzitzis will exempt the linen garment together with the two tchelis strings that it has. Meaning, although really now you're not going to have min ha-kanaf, because the garment itself, the kanaf is actually, the corner of the garment is linen, and here you're making the strings out of wool, but that's what Shmuel is saying in the name of Levi, but since the other two strings are tchelis, which anyways those are wool, and it's exempting a garment made out of linen, because the Torah says explicitly that you wear tchelis. So therefore, even the white threads, that even though generally they're supposed to be linen, if it's wool, it will also exempt the linen garment because of the two that are supposed to be white. Now, Ibarul had the following question. Shall pishton mao sheyifter b'shal tzemer? What's the halacha if, let's say, the garment is made out of wool, and now the two white threads are made out of linen, will that also exempt the garment? Will that be a valid tzitzis for this garment? What's the question? So the Gemara explains. Tzemer b'shal pishtim hu depata, maybe like in the case that Shmuel said in Neiman Levi that we just explained, that when the garment is linen and the white threads, the strings are wool, that's where it exempts it, because like we said, like a migui, like the kivin de tchilas patra, since it exempts the garment that's linen with anyways the blue threads that are made out of wool, it exempts the garment, even though that seemingly that would be klayim, but the Torah tells you you're supposed to do that. So lovanami pater. So regarding that linen garment, the white threads that are wool will also exempt the linen garment. Ava pishtim b'tzemer loy, but we don't find a garment made out of wool that the Torah tells you allowed to make the tzitzis made out of klayim to say take the tzitzis that are linen with the woolen garment. Or maybe no. Since the Torah tells you regarding tzitzis, where although generally the way that it's usually climbed is because the garment is linen and the tzitzis are wool, but ultimately the Torah tells you, do not wear shatnes, which is a mixture of wool and linen. And then the Pasuk tells you, you should make tzitzis for you, which tells us that you're allowed to make the tzitzis made of the climb. So although generally it's in the case of the garment linen and the tzitzis being wool, but ultimately the Torah is permitting climb, and it wouldn't make a difference if it's where the garment is linen and the tzitzis are wool, or even if the garment is wool and the tzitzis are linen. So Tashema, the Gemara says, come in here. Namar Rechava Amr Rabbi Yehuda says clearly, Chuti Tzemer Poitin Bishal Pishtan, though as we said, the previous halacha that the strings of wool exempt the garment made out of linen, and Bishal Pishtan Poitin Bishal Tzemer, that the tzitzis of linen will exempt the garment made out of wool, where the Torah exempts carte blanche, climb in the halachas of tzitzis. Now moreover, it continues with another halacha, that Chuti Tzemer Upishtim, the strings of the tzitzis that have both wool and linen, which is a classic way where the tzitzis generally are the white ones are linen and the blue ones are made out of wool, patron b'chol mokum, they exempt any garment that you're putting tzitzis on, a fellow b'shirayin. And even if the garment's made out of silk, meaning you would have thought to say that a silk garment is exempt from tzitzis, and then actually it would be klayim because you're knotting together the blue wool strings with the white linen strings, and not a place of a mitzvah because the garment does not require tzitzis, that's what he's telling you, that no, that you are obligated with a garment even made out of silk, and you can fulfill that with klayim tzitzis, both of wool and of linen. Now that says the Gemara, in this last halacha, pligi de Rav Nachman, that disputes Rav Nachman. Kardam Rav Nachman, he said that actually hashirayin, a garment made out of linen, peturim, and that's actually exempt from tzitzis, and therefore would come out that you would not be able to take strings of wool and linen and put that on the garment, because that would be biblical klayim for a non-biblical mitzvah of tzitzis on this garment. Now, however, Ezra Rav Rav Nachman, Rav asked Rav Nachman from the following b'rais. The b'rais says clearly, hashirayin, regarding a garment made out of silk, v'alkelech, or a garment that's made out of silk from the cocoon of the silkworm, or vasrikin, which is a garment made out of the soft split part of the silk. Kulin chayav mitzitzis, they all are obligated in tzitzis, clearly contradicting Rav Nachman, who said that it's exempt from tzitzis. Says the Gemara Midrabana, that brings from a rabbinic. Rabbinically, yes, a silk garment is obligated in tzitzis, but not biblical. And therefore, you cannot use temer pishtim, because that would be biblical klayim in the rabbinically obligated garment of tzitzis. On that, asks the Gemara, however, Yachim, but if that's the case, Eimah Seifa. Well, look at the end. The Braisa had said, the kulan in all garments, Tzemer pishtim patron behem, that tzitzis of wool and linen will exempt them. So the assumption of the Gemara right now is, as we explained before, you have two strings of wool, two strings of white linen, and that's klayim. So iyam bishlemi deraisa. If you say like the Gemara had said before, Rechab in the name of Yehuda, that there's a biblical obligation of tzitzis even in a silk garment. So behind the mishtar bo klayim, that we could understand why in any garment, including silk, that you would be able to be permitted to use tzitzis of wool and linen. Eliyamad Rabbanan, but if you're saying like Rav Nachman that it's only rabbinically obligated, so how could this brisa then say that klayim is permitted, but it's not, it's only rabbinically obligated, so how can you go ahead in the shirayin, in the kelech, and the sarikin, which you're saying is only rabbinically obligated, then use samar pishtim on them, which is a biblical klayim, and it's not the biblical permissibility for tzitzis, because it's not biblically obligated in tzitzis. That says the Gemara, no, you're right, you can't use both tzemer and pishtim. Eimer, rather say, oid tzemer and pishtim. What the Brisa is saying is that these silk garments, which are only rabbinically obligated, besides using tzitzis of their same type, you could use either wool or linen, but of course you can't use both, because that would be klayim, the Brisa, in a beggar that's only chayib in the Rabbanim. And says the Gemara, hachanam istab, it's logical like we're answering. Because the Ketani Sefer, the Brisa continues and says, hein, they themselves, meaning the silk, or the corded silk, or the split silk, b'minon patron. If you make the tzitzis of the garment as the same type as the garment, one has fulfilled his obligation. But if it's not the same type, it's not fulfilled the obligation of tzitzis. Now, if you say that these garments like silk are only rabbinically obligated, we could understand why taking the same type, meaning making the tzitzis strings out of silk, will exempt that silk garment in the rabbinic halacha of tzitzis. But if you say that silk is obligated biblically in halacha of tzitzis, so how could the Braisa say that the tzitzis made out of silk will exempt the garment for the laws of tzitzis, but biblically tzitzis requires tzemer or pishtim hu depatar. It's only when the tzitzis are made out of wool and linen that it exempts the garment, as the Gemara is going to explain later on. It says tzemer pishtim yachtav gedilim taslach, that the tzitzis strings have to be made out of wool and linen. So if it's rabbinic, okay, rabbinically they say the same garment that we're rabbinically obligated could be used for the tzitzis strings. But if it'd be biblical, the silk, then you would actually need wool and linen. How could it say that you could use silk? Obviously, because it's only rabbinically obligated. And that says the Gemara, no, imishum halo iria. If that's how you want to prove, like the answer we gave before, to reject the question, that's not a proof. Because could the Rava, we could say like Rava, in other words, we could even say that silk is biblically obligated, and still you'd be able to take silk tzitzis to exempt the garment, and you wouldn't need wool and linen. Why? Doesn't it say Tzemer Pishnah? So the Gemara says, the Rava Rami Rava had asked a contradiction. On the one end, Ksiv HaKanaf, it says you should make tzitzis on the corner of the garment, which we had explained many times means Min Kanaf. The tzitzis should be made out of the same type as what's the corner of the garment. Yeah, well, Ksiv Tzemer Pishnah, the other pasuk that talks about Gedilim, says that it should be wool and linen. So HaKetzad, the tzitzis strings are what? The same type as the garment, or do they have to be wool and linen? On that said, Rava, Tzemer Pishnah, the reason why it says that the tzitzis are wool and linen is because patron bein b'minin bein shalei b'minin. Because yes, the tzitzis, if they're made out of wool and linen, will exempt any garment, whatever it's made out of. Shar minin, but regarding other types of fabric, b'minin patron. If it's the same type of fabric, then the tzitzis is going to exempt it. Shalei b'minin in patron, if it's a different type, it's not going to exempt it. And therefore, yes, biblically, silk garment, even if it's biblically obligated, the silk tzitzis would exempt it, and it wouldn't have to meet tzemer pishtim, and therefore it's not a proof. It could be that it would biblically obligated, not necessarily like the answer that we gave, that it would be only rabbinically obligated, which was the answer for Rav Nachman. Now, says the Gemara of Rav Nachman, that he said previously that silk is only rabbinically obligated, because he said it would be biblically obligated, then actually you would not be able to exempt it with the same type of it. And therefore rejects what Rav had just said, which we said rejects the proof that the Brisa is like the way we answer for Rav Nachman. Meaning, because according to Rava, you could even say that possibly it is Chayiv Midiraisa. But Rav Nachman was proving that no, it's only going to be Chayiv Midirabanan. Why? Why is it only Chayiv Midirabanan? What do you mean? Why? Because, oh, it says that you can patra it b'mina. Must be it's only Dirabanan. According to Rava, that could be Midiraisa. So Rav Nachman was holding that must be it's Dirabanan, says the Gemara, it's because he could atone to Beri Bishmol. It's because he holds like the Brisa Shivya Bishmol, who says that no, the biblical obligation of tzitz is only when the garment is of wool or of linen, and therefore it's obvious that if you're going to go ahead and have an obligation in silk, and so too the tzitzis is going to be exempted with silk, must be it's only rabbinically obligated. Tanbir Bishmal, you learn in the Brisa of Yeshiva Bishmal, that he says, since it tells you in the Torah when it says that you should put on the corners of a garment tzitzis, it just says unspecified a garment. It doesn't tell you what type of garment. Now, in one of the parashas in the Torah, it does specify to you what type of garment we're talking about, specifically in Devarim Chav Beis, in the parashah of Negoyim, when there's a neg of tzaras on a garment, it says over there, beged tzem or beged pishtim, it tells you it's tzem or pishtim, that the garment is referring to is wool and linen. So I've called tzem or pishtim, so we learn out that whatever it says beged in the Torah, it means a beged, a garment made out of wool and linen, and therefore, Rav Nachman was like him, which we see that biblically, the halacha of the garment is only with wool and linen, and therefore, and the Brice that said before that silk is going to be obligated and it's going to be exempt with its own type, was talking on the rabbinic level, that's not like Rava's drush. And again, therefore, the Brice is not difficult on him because the Brice that's saying that it's going to be chayiv is only drabanan, but that's what Rav Nachman had said, that shirayin, a garment made out of silk, is actually biblically exempt from tzitzis. Now, however, Amar Abaye, he says, v'haytan de Rabbi Shmuel, this Brice that we just quoted from Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel is actually mafka me'idach tan de Rabbi Shmuel, is precluding from a different Tana from the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, because this other one we're going to quote actually includes from the word beged all types of garments in the laws of Tzaras, and not like this one that we just quoted that says it's only wool and linen. The Tana Rabbi Shmuel, like we learned the Brice Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, the Pasuk says in Be'yikud Yud Gimel Pasuk Men Zayin, says that a garment that will have in it a nega of Tzaras, some type of affliction, some type of discoloration of Tzaras, in a woolen garment or a linen garment, it says the terminology beged, garment. Now, ainly ela beged tzemer, from the pasuk itself, I would only know a woolen garment made out of the wool from sheep, because it says beged tzemer. Minayin l'rab is tzemer gemal, how do I know to include even the wool from a camel, the tzemer novim, or the wool from a rabbit, or b'neitzah shalizim? The reason why I changed the terminology from tzemer to neitzah is because the wool of a goat is called neitzah, because it's not as soft as other wool. But the wool of goats, or vakelach, vasrika, mesharim, these three different types of silks, minayin, from where do I know that they actually will become tummy from the nega? It is included in the parasha of a nega tzaraz. Tamaloymer oy beget, says this tana of the Be'i Bishmal. It says beget semer oy bebeget pishtim. The fact that it says or a garment is coming to include all types of these types of garments where that they do have the halacha, and therefore it's not like the previous brayse of which we were supporting the opinion of Rav Nachman, who he says that the only garments that are biblically obligated are tzemer and pishtim, because when it says in Torah beged and tzaras, it means only tzemer and pishtim, so too here he wanted to say for tzitzis, and silk, as we said, is only rabbinically, not like the way Rabba wanted to say even biblically, which is that when it's the same type, it could be exempted from the same type. Here, we see in the second brayse of the Be'i Bishmol that, no, he actually says, by neged tzaras, it's not just tzemer pishtim, it's actually all these other types of fabrics too, because it's included from the term oy, and therefore we wouldn't have a source to say that the beged in the Torah is only referring to tzemer pishtim, rather, by neged tzaras, it includes all these other types of garments too that contract the tumah of neged tzaras on that garment.